Shemai Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, Let There Be Light, was written by Joseph Mendel and is presented in observance of the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year.
Board? All aboard. You're blocking the steps, mister.
Oh, I'm sorry, conductor.
Sure. Well, get aboard. You're holding up the train.
Ask him, David.
I'm going to, Jacob. I was just taking another look. Conductor, can you tell me, the passengers for this station, did they all get off?
Mister, I call the stations, that's all. Passengers get off wherever they want. You getting aboard or not?
Oh, no, we're not going anyplace. We're waiting for someone to come.
This is a story of the season of beginning, when the soul of the world is reborn and everything that happens shines with a new meaning. Therefore, I will tell you this, not for Jacob Stone, who waited with me at the station, not for any of the others, but for myself alone. Listen, everyone in the world waits for someone, sometime. The important thing is to know when the time comes, why you have been waiting.
All aboard!
Maybe we made a mistake, David. Maybe it's the wrong train.
No, Jacob, it's the right train.
We've seen all the passengers who got off. We don't know the man, of course, but I'm sure I would recognize him.
Oh?
How?
What a question. By his appearance, his bearing, his...
Jacob, look there.
Where?
Right there, see?
No, David, out of the question. That's an ordinary person just like everybody else. Who would look at him twice?
Well, all the same, he's looking at us.
Excuse me, I'm Rabbi Silverman. I wonder if...
Yes, Rabbi, we've been waiting for you.
Well, Jacob?
Well, Morris.
He's been with the congregation only a few weeks. I certainly wouldn't make a final judgment.
Oh, naturally not, Morris.
And what do you mean by that, David?
Only that you undoubtedly have a tentative opinion.
It happens that I have.
Two men's shirts, Mr. Stone. $3 a piece out of 10.
Remember to count the change for the customer, Ephraim.
Mm-hmm.
And make a neat parcel.
Sure.
A fine young man, that Ephraim. Very helpful. He learns quickly.
If you want my opinion...
About Ephraim?
The rabbi. I can tell you in one word. Adequate. Yes, that's the word for our new rabbi. What's the matter, David? You don't agree?
I didn't say anything, Morris.
Then don't look down your nose at me. What's the use of fooling? We're a small congregation in a small city. We can't afford the best.
289 out of 5, Mr. Stone.
Bring it up yourself, Ephraim. After all, why shouldn't I trust you, Ephraim?
No reason why you shouldn't, Mr. Stone.
Just count the change twice.
Sure.
A hard worker, that Ephraim. Very reliable.
Let me ask you a question, Jacob. Did you check his references?
References? I advertised in the paper and he came, a fine young man.
How do you know?
I look and I see. That's how.
Exactly. There you are.
What do you mean?
I mean the rabbi. You look and you see that he's not very impressive. You listen and you hear, he stutters once in a while. And you can talk to him like to an ordinary person.
Mr. Stone is busy with a customer, Rabbi.
That's all right, Ephraim. I don't mind waiting. You haven't been here long, have you?
About 2 months, Rabbi.
Then we're both strangers. Jacob is pleased with you. He told me so.
That's good.
Especially now that you're helping keep the books.
I like working with numbers.
I suppose you learned bookkeeping in school?
Excuse me, Rabbi. I've got some work to do in the back of the store.
Oh, well, wait, Ephraim. I was just talking. I didn't mean to pry.
Well, it was a kind of a school.
Of course. Where else would somebody learn bookkeeping, huh? Ephraim, I hope you won't mind if I say something else.
Hmm?
You haven't been coming to our services.
No. No, I never did belong to any congregation.
In one way or another, everybody belongs to a congregation.
Yeah, sure, Rabbi.
It's only a few weeks to Rosh Hashanah, the new year. A good time to begin again with the congregation.
You don't want me in your synagogue, Rabbi.
It's not a question of what I want, Ephraim.
I mean, I don't even know the prayers and the hymns and all of that.
Oh, do you think that God would mind? He wants more than prayers and hymns, Ephraim. God wants the heart.
Look, Rabbi, you're wasting your time. I'm sorry. I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Sometimes it can't be helped, can it?
All right. All those things that you're saying about me belonging and what God wants. Well, a rabbi is supposed to say them.
I see. Besides, you've heard them before.
They're only words.
But if the words are true, Ephraim, and you believe them...
Rabbi, I said I was sorry. I meant it.
Ephraim!
Look, that's Mr. Stone. He wants me.
How much simpler it would be.
What would be simpler, Rabbi?
If people would only believe that words have a real meaning.
I'm afraid I don't know what you're talking about.
About what God wants. And what you want, Jacob.
Well, as to the first, I'm not sure. But about the second, I can tell you right away. I want to show you something that I think will interest you very much.
Oh.
That is, if you want to see it.
Well, of course, Jacob. But what is it?
Wait, Sophie, my wife, said, why should the rabbi stand in the store? Why can't he come to the house and sit in a comfortable chair and have a cup of tea?
But if you're inviting me...
You're invited, Rabbi, tonight. Let's go in here, Rabbi.
Oh, I forgot you were working at the table, Ephraim. Will we disturb you?
No, it's all right, Mr. Stone.
He's balancing the books.
Uh-huh.
Time and a half for night work, eh, Ephraim? Now, Rabbi, I want to show you another kind of book. Here, in the cabinet. Take it in your hands, Rabbi.
It's a machzor.
With Rosh Hashanah coming soon, I thought you'd like to see an old prayer book for the high holiday.
Oh, how beautifully it's printed.
The binding is cracked across the back, but can be fixed.
It must be very old, Jacob.
The dealer who sold it to me said about 200 years. To judge by the price alone, I believe him.
It could probably be traced more exactly.
I've thought of it, but I'll tell you something, Rabbi. Why do I have to know exactly? You know what I mean?
I think so, Jacob.
Sometimes I sit down with the book and open it any place, like this. See?
Uh-huh.
The Al-Khayt. For the sin we committed before thee with the utterance of our lips, by a breach of trust, by false judgments.
For all these, O God of forgiveness, forgive us, pardon us, grant us atonement.
Yes, yes. I think how many uncounted hands have held the book, and how many voices have said the words. And I don't know what's coming over me, babbling away. I think you led me on.
Did I? I didn't say anything.
But you listened with such a look on your face. Never mind. The book gets older every year. I paid plenty, but it's a good investment.
Oh, now you're counting again, Jacob.
Come, Rabbi, we'll have tea in the dining room. Some of Sophie's honey cake. Ephraim, would you like some tea?
No, thanks, Mr. Stone.
You sure?
No, I won't take me long to finish, and then I think I'll go home.
All right, Ephraim. Leave everything on the table when you go. You know your way out. I'll see you in the store tomorrow, as usual. But 10:30 is not so usual, Ephraim.
I'm sorry, Mr. Stone. I meant to tell you last night. I had an early appointment.
So early in the morning that you couldn't telephone?
I guess I forgot. I was at the station to see to see a friend off to the West Coast.
Well, now I understand. But you're not telling the whole truth.
Oh, I am, Mr. Stone, I swear.
When a young man talks about a friend, that means a girl, doesn't it now?
Well, it's nothing serious yet. I mean, I...
It's all right, Ephraim. I was only joking. Can't you tell?
I still should have really told you last night that I wouldn't be here.
You should, but that's not serious either to forget once in a while, unless someone were to come looking for you.
Why do you say that?
What, Ephraim? What did I say?
Why do you think anybody would come looking for me?
Yes, he works here, but he's finished for the day. I usually close the store myself.
I know. That's why I came at this time.
Why? What do you want with Ephraim?
I only want to talk to you about him. Here's my identification, Mr. Stone. I'm his parole officer.
Parole officer? Ephraim?
Didn't you know? I specifically asked him, and he said he told you. The young fool.
What did he... Why was he...
Theft. He was paroled after serving part of his term. And Mr. Stone, you have to understand...
I don't believe it.
It's true, all right. But...
You look at him. He's a fine, decent young man. He keeps the books of my business.
He learned bookkeeping in the prison school.
He goes to the cash register. I told him myself to ring up sales and make change. He never took money. At least I don't think so.
Mr. Stone, you're entitled to know about him, but he's entitled to be judged by what he is and does now.
Now I know. What should I do?
I can't tell you. But if temptation and opportunity come together for a person...
You mean Ephraim?
No. I mean anybody, with or without a prison record. No matter who it is, you always have to start with a certain amount of trust. Mr. Stone.
I heard. I suppose you're right. All the same, maybe I'd better check to see if something is missing. It's gone.
Are you sure, Jacob?
Of course I'm sure, Morris. Look in the cabinet. You see the book? It was there last night, and tonight it's not there.
All right. You don't have to get so excited.
Why shouldn't I? Aside from what it cost me, the book itself...
Sit down.
Shouldn't I? Aside from what it cost me, the book itself...
Sit down. I'll get Sophie to bring you a cup of tea or something. Sophie!
There's no use shouting. She's not here.
Not here at a time like this?
How was she supposed to know what kind of a time it was going to be? She left for New York this afternoon to spend a few days with her sister. She goes every year just before Rosh Hashanah.
Calm down, Jacob. We'll analyze what happened and what can be done.
That's the trouble, Morris.
It's clear enough what happened and what I have to do. I came to you first, Rabbi, to tell you.
You mustn't do it, Jacob.
You think I like it? But the evidence. Am I supposed to close my eyes?
Maybe you're not seeing clearly.
You were there yourself. You saw him working at the table when I told you how valuable the book is.
I was there.
We left him alone in the room. He did his work and went home.
Just as he said he would.
With the book under his arm.
You don't know that, Jacob.
I know he came to work late the next morning. Late enough to dispose of the book first.
Ephraim told you where he was.
Of course he told me something, but without proof, how can I believe him, an ex-convict? Well, I don't mean it like that. Rabbi, I liked Ephraim. I trusted him. You must believe me.
I believe you, Jacob.
After all, what do I have in mind? To send the police after him? To accuse him publicly? No. I only want to question him. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but...
But you're willing to risk the shedding of blood.
What do you mean?
Whoever humiliates an innocent man sheds blood.
Words again. I've also read them.
Then why can't you believe they mean what they say?
It's no use, Rabbi. I thought you would help me, but I'll have to do it alone.
Wait, Jacob, wait. I'll go with you.
You'll help me question Ephraim?
Well, first, Jacob, what is the crucial point?
I've gone over it in my mind 100 times. It's the coming together of temptation and opportunity.
Well, it's a beautiful book, Jacob. Very tempting.
And Ephraim was alone in the room. He had the opportunity.
But was he the only one?
You know he was.
No, no, Jacob. I left you in the dining room to get my coat. How do you know I didn't go to the cabinet after Ephraim was gone and slipped the book in my pocket? Huh? Now, come, Jacob. You can question Ephraim and me together.
That's 3 and 2 makes 5. Thank you, ma'am.
Well, we're ready, Ephraim and I, aren't we?
What? Well, if you say so, Rabbi.
Well, Jacob?
Ephraim, I...
Yes, Mr. Stone?
Ephraim, take care of the store.
Oh, sure. Sure I will.
I have some other work.
Something the matter? Is he all right?
I'm not sure.
Well, maybe I better...
No, Ephraim, you can't help him.
Maybe you're right. Rabbi, I don't know exactly how to say this, but... Well, I've been thinking about what you said the other day. Do you really know what God wants? Oh, forget it. Sounds foolish when I say it.
I know what God wants, Ephraim. It's no secret. It's been written down for everyone.
Well, lots of people say the words, but you believe them, don't you? Rabbi, there's something I want to tell you.
You don't have to.
Oh, yes, I do. Look. Now, every day, I used to watch the money accumulate in there. Mm-hmm. A dozen times I almost took it. And then one day, I took a fistful of bills and put them in my pocket.
But it was Jacob's money. Why?
I carried it around all day.
And why are you telling me?
Well, you're good at believing things. But before I went home, I put it back. Every penny of it. Rabbi, do you believe that? Do you believe it, Rabbi?
I tried, Rabbi. The words were on my tongue, sharp as a knife, but I couldn't say them.
Are you sorry, Jacob?
You were right. They would have shed blood. My wife came back to New York today.
You expected her back today?
Yes, but I didn't expect this. Look, Rabbi.
What? The prayer book.
You'll notice that the binding is no longer cracked. Sophie had it fixed in New York. A surprise, she said.
For Rosh Hashanah. Very appropriate.
Why are you making polite conversation? Why don't you say something?
Well, I don't know there's anything for me to say.
I'm sorry about Ephraim. I want you to know how sorry I am.
Me, Jacob? If you've injured me in any way, I forgive you entirely.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you.
But there's God and there's Ephraim. And I cannot speak for them. You must ask forgiveness yourself.
But, Rabbi...
Rosh Hashanah will soon be here, Jacob. Why are you waiting?
On a day long ago, we waited for him, Jacob and I, on the station platform. Now, on Rosh Hashanah, the birthday of the world, we sat with the congregation. And if he stuttered once in a while, we did not hear it.
Al chei chechaton ulefonecho bevli doas. Ve al chei chechaton ulefonecho bevitus efasoi.
For the sin we committed before thee with utterance of our lips, by a breach of trust, by false judgments.
For all these, O God of forgiveness, forgive us, pardon us, grant us atonement.
Now, on this day, I know why we were waiting, and I will tell you in the words of the beginning of creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, "Let there be light." Creation is not yet ended. In the semi-dark, the world is blurred, waiting for someone to come who will light up the thin edge between good and evil, so that men will know in which direction to turn. "Let there be light," God said. And there was light. If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Julius Mark, Senior Rabbi of Temple Emmanuel in New York City. Dr. Mark.
On an afternoon shortly before the observance of the Jewish holy days, the cantor of a synagogue in an East European village appeared to be in a great hurry. Coming toward him was the rabbi of the community, who stopped and inquired why he was in such a rush. The cantor replied, "The holy days will soon be here, and I am anxious to go over the prayers and get them in order." Said the rabbi, "Why are you so worried about the prayers? They are the same as last year and many years before. They haven't changed. What you should get in order is not your prayers, but yourself. Synagogues are filled to overflowing with fervent worshipers during the observance of the most sacred holy days in the Jewish calendar, Rosh Hashanah, the New Year, which ancient tradition declares to be the anniversary of the creation of the world, and 10 days later, when Yom Kippur, the solemn day of atonement, is observed with prayers and fasting throughout the day. It is a period of self-scrutiny, self-examination, and self-evaluation. It is, of course, important to understand that there is a vast difference between reading prayers and praying. There is little value in merely repeating words, while there is supreme significance in giving expression to feelings which well deep within our hearts. Equally momentous is the knowledge that the purpose of prayer is not to change God's ways, that they may comport to our own desires, but to change our lives in such a wise as to conform to the will of God. We should school ourselves to be conscious not of the failings of others, but of our own shortcomings. This is the message of the Jewish holy day season, which so aptly was illustrated in today's story. Be wary of judging your neighbor, but be quick to judge yourself when you ask God's forgiveness for the sin committed by false judgments.
Thank you, Dr. Mark. Eternal Light drama today, Let There Be Light, was written by Joseph Mendel and was presented in observance of the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang liturgical music. Featured in the cast were Roger DeCoven as Jacob, Ivor Francis as the rabbi, William Mason as Ephraim, Maurice Tarplin as Morris, Joseph Boland as the parole officer, and Alan Bergman as David and the narrator. This is Vic Roby. Our program was directed by George Voutsas. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.